Help me find my sister. That was the unusual request that led NPR's Frank Langfitt on a journey through the mountains of China's southwest. A married lover and a positive pregnancy test presented clues and more questions. And that's where we left our investigation yesterday into this unusual missing persons case. And we are going to pick it up now.
It's a gritty story that's telling us a lot about real life in China and how the country's changed. Now, Frank is NPR's Shanghai correspondent, and a Chinese-American woman, this woman's sister, reached out to Frank to try and get some help to find her missing relative. She contacted Frank after hearing a free taxi series, right, Frank? Tell us about that.
What I've been doing is driving around Shanghai and beyond, just offering free rides to people as kind of a way to learn about real life in China.
So you stumble on what is essentially a missing person story. And in this final episode, we find out that this missing woman had a secret life, one that might have contributed to her disappearance. Catch us up for people who may have missed the earlier episode.
Sure, Audie. This Chinese-American woman, she's an NPR listener, and she lives in the American Midwest. And after we agreed to help her, she flew to Yunnan Province in southwest China. And that was where her little sister disappeared more than 2 years ago. And so we spent 4 days actually driving through the mountains searching for the little sister. And at the little sister's empty apartment, the big sister found medical results showing that she was actually pregnant. And the family also found a love note between the little sister and a married man who we'd already interviewed, and he'd actually claimed they were just friends.
All right, we want to remind everyone, we're saying big sister and little sister because we're not using the names of these people to protect their privacy. We're also talking about, you know, intimate things. For instance, big sister finding these medical records, right? Pregnancy test results.
Yeah, and she showed them to us, and we weren't quite sure what to make of them. And there was something weird. For one, the age on the results made the little sister seem 10 years younger than she really was. So we went to the hospital that issued the results to ask some questions. So we show the test to several physicians, and there's this doctor named Yu, and she looks puzzled.
Where was this test done?
It's not done by us. Our department doesn't have a doctor by this name or an ID number like this. This report is fake.
Another physician named Bai calls up the little sister's medical records, and he finds an earlier legitimate pregnancy test.
Her result was negative. She then forged this report. She printed this out using a Word document.
So I ask, why would someone forge a pregnancy test? Dr. Yu explains.
Some girls want to take some leave from their jobs. Others lie to a man, saying I'm pregnant to get a sum of money.
The little sister did not have a job, but she did have some money, so what we knew about her finances made us think maybe there was some other motive for this. And what began as a missing persons case at this point seemed to be taking a pretty ominous turn. So we called the married boyfriend, and to my surprise, he came clean about the affair, and he says they fell in love.
She wanted me to get a divorce and then marry her, but I told her, when this all started, I have a family.
The little sister had spent years as a sex worker. She'd quit, and at this point, she was trying to go legitimate. She'd been reading business books, she was trying to buy a bar, and then she'd found this handsome, frankly charming guy who became her boyfriend, but the problem, of course, was he was married. The boyfriend says that she threatened to tell his wife, who ended up finding out anyway, and he insists he knew nothing about the pregnancy test.
Okay, Frank, let me jump in here. He was hiding this relationship, right, when you guys first approached him, so how did their relationship end?
Well, the boyfriend said he broke up with her and last saw her in the fall of 2013. It was not long before she disappeared. The little sister lived in this city that was very close to China's border with Laos, and this is a part of what's called the Golden Triangle, which is infamous for drug running and human trafficking. And the boyfriend says that he thinks something terrible happened.
After such a long time, she could have contacted her family. She's either been taken hostage or somebody's murdered her.
The big sister thinks this relationship led, at least indirectly, to her little sister's disappearance. We spoke over the internet after the big sister returned to the U.S.
If he were not married, probably they would have a nice family together. And my sister probably would end up a nicer life.
So after this breakup, the little sister's hopes are shattered. And she has this incredibly hard rebound. She marries two men in quick succession, and both marriages fail. She flees her second husband after she said he beat her. And a lawyer had told her that if she disappeared for a couple of years, her husband could divorce her without her actually having to be present. And police thought she deliberately just dropped off the grid.
They thought my sister was just hiding herself. She ran away and hiding somewhere, starting a new life.
But of course, more than 2 years have passed now, and now the big sister, she fears the worst.
She was so hurt. I think she's broken. She wanted to run away. And then I think something bad happened to her.
Do you feel like you have any closure, or do you feel that this is still very much open for you?
I wouldn't call it a closure because I still have hope that she will show up.
Frank, this woman's little sister really went through a lot, right? She has these failed relationships. She has this failed attempt to create a career for herself. I mean, what was driving her?
Well, in some ways, this is a universal story, I think. Like most of us, she just wanted to find someone to love and settle down. And after she ran away from her husband, she and her big sister traded messages on WeChat. That's China's most popular social media app. And here's one of the last recordings of her voice.
I simply want to find a man who dearly loves me. Why is it so difficult?
We're hearing that very emotional archive tape, right? I mean, Big Sister has held on to this tape all these years. But when you step back for a moment, what do you see is the kind of bigger story about what this says about modern life in China and how people can kind of fall through the cracks?
Well, these are two sisters who ended up with completely different fates. And if this had happened a long time ago during China's communist era, their lives would have actually been really similar. They'd still be on the farm somewhere and, frankly, still poor. In the last 15 or 20 years under capitalism, something new developed there, and it's the idea of the individual dream. This has been one of the most exciting and encouraging developments most of us have seen in China. And you find people, they figure if they can work hard, take some risks, maybe they can succeed. And the big sister's a really good example of that. I mean, she comes out of this poor farming village. She eventually makes it to the States, an IT job, and recently she actually got married. The little sister represents the dark side of that dream. And there are people like her who don't have a lot of skills. They struggle. And in her case, her solution is to go into illicit work. She tries to reinvent herself. But in the end, it seems like she couldn't really escape her past. And for all the success stories that we talk about in China, it can be a really tough and unforgiving country. And some people, Audie, they just don't make it.
That's NPR's Shanghai correspondent, Frank Langfitt. Frank, thank you for bringing us this story.
You're very welcome, Audie.